have been waiting for this show. I've not been able to wait for this show because I can't wait to talk about lust. Yes, oh, I just love to talk about lust. It's one of my favorite topics. It's in the Bible, 2 Timothy 2:22. I've been seeing this coming for weeks. I've been looking at this page, page 86 in Clyde Pilkington's book, The Church in Ruins. And this is a scriptural word, and the Greek word is epithumia, and it means on feeling. Now, the Concordant version did a bad thing here. They translated it lust when it has to do with sexual desire, but they translated it desire when it has to do with a non-sexual context. And I don't like that. It should be translated consistently. Now, I want to read to you 2 Timothy 2:22. I'm going to show you what the King James version did. And I like the King James translated it lust here, because I'm going to contend to you what my friend Clyde Pilkington contends, that the lust of this context has nothing to do with sexuality. Everybody assumes whenever they hear the word lust that it has to do with sex. There are many, many other kinds of lusts and many more damaging lusts than sexual lust. In fact, I would make the case on another series perhaps that sexual lust is healthy, because without it, no one ever gets married. I see nothing in Scripture against it, but there are many more damaging lusts. Now, 2 Timothy 2:22. This is from the King James Version. Then I'm going to read it from the Concordant Version. This is really interesting. I love this page, and I love this truth. Paul to Timothy, "Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." And now I'm going to read 2 Timothy 2:22 from the Concordant Version. Here's where they translate it desire, which I don't like. Either translate it desire across the board or translate it lust across the board. It's the same Greek word, epithumia, means on feeling. So we're going to go to 2 Timothy 2:22. "Now youthful desires flee, yet pursue righteousness." Now we all assume that Timothy was like this 15-year-old kid and he had these raging hormones. Well, no, he had been with Paul 15 years by the time Paul writes 2 Timothy. He'd been with him for 15 years, so he was probably at maybe 16 or 15 or 16 when he started with Paul. So I'm thinking that Timothy might be 30 years old. So is Paul telling him to flee those youthful lusts? You know, get rid of those raging hormones. He's not. There are other kinds of lusts. It's desire. A lust is a desire. It can be a desire for anything. But I want to tell you that the context, we have to keep this lust in context. This whole time, if you've been with us in this series on 2 Timothy, we're in a context of religion all the way through. And these youthful lusts have to do with religion. Now, from Clyde's book, Paul tells Timothy to flee also youthful lusts. But what exactly was Paul calling Timothy to do according to the context? From what was he to flee? Youthful lusts. What usually comes to mind when we think of this? Oh, everybody knows the answer to this. Sex, fornication, the raging hormones of a teenager. Yet, is it possible that this is lust of another kind? Let's look at the context again. We've been talking about this for a few weeks now, okay? The passage in question is 2 Timothy 2:22. Look at verse 15. This is in the neighborhood. This is the context. Well, we could just keep going backwards. 11, faithful is the saying, if we die together, we shall be living together also. If we're enduring, we'll be reigning together with Christ. And he talks about remaining faithful in verse 13. In verse 14, of this be reminding them, conjuring in the Lord's sight not to be engaging controversy for nothing useful. 15, endeavor to present yourself to God qualified, an unashamed worker correctly cutting the word of truth, or in the context of a man who is studying the scriptures. And he talks about progressing to irreverence in verse 17. And we bring up our old friends, Hymenaeus and Philetus, who swerved as to the truth, saying that the resurrection had already occurred. Right? What context are we in? Spiritual, scriptural context. Hymenaeus and Philetus were subverting the faith of some because they were swerving as to the truth. Then Paul talks about the solid foundation of God in verse 19. And those naming the name of the Lord withdraw from injustice. Then, as we've been talking about for the last 2 days in verse 20, in a great house. The ecclesia of God had gone from the house of God to a great house where there was not only gold and silver utensils, but wooden and earthenware also, some indeed for honor, some for dishonor. If then anyone should be purging himself from these, he will be a utensil for honor, hallowed, useful to the owner. Now we get to verse 22. Now youthful desires flee. The desires Paul is telling Timothy to flee from, the lusts that he is telling him to flee from, are religious lusts. The desires of men and young men to attempt great things for God. I'm going to do something for God. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to make a living telling people about God. I'm going to become the youth pastor. And if I really apply myself, I could graduate to the big man, the pastor. And then if I really try, I can get to a bigger church. Oh, I'm going to organize the worship group. I'm going to do all these great things. That is a lust. That's a desire. We always assume it's a sexual desire, but it's not. A sexual desire leads you to marry. It leads you to have a family and be a father. And many of these people going into a religious business, a religious trade, they're forsaking their families and they're really trying so hard to become somebody. I mean, this isn't just in the realm of religion. Many men we know and women, they get career oriented and their lust, that they think that, well, this lust is okay. It's justified to have a lust to be somebody in the world. That's just as much of a lust. And I claim it's even a more harmful lust. Sexual lust is normal. I mean, you have that every day. A woman sees an attractive man. A man sees an attractive woman. There's some desire there. Big whoop. You know, you look at a donut and you lust. I go to Subway and I lust for the spinach, you know, and I lust for the peppers and I lust for the mustard and the oil. And I love that, the vinegar and oil. It's like, give me more of that. I need more. That's lust. That's desire. What's that? It's fleeting. It's passing. But when you lust to be somebody, and I'm going to climb the ladder, and in this whole context, people are leaving Paul to become somebody. Demas left Paul because he loved the Kurenion. Paul, there's nothing about sex in this entire book, but there are so religion ensnares people to become somebody for God, to do something. And to me, one of the greatest contexts of this is Luke chapter 10, when Jesus talks about Martha and Mary, you know, the sisters of Lazarus. And Martha was busy serving, busy serving. Her sister Mary was sitting at the Lord's feet. Lord, tell my sister to get off her can and help me mayonnaise these sandwiches. Zender here needs some more olive oil and spinach for his subs. And I'm just squirting all these condiments on here and nobody's helping me. Tell her to get off her can and get over here. And Jesus said, you know, I wasn't going to say anything, but since you think your sister's not doing anything and you're having this great epic call, actually, Mary's doing the better thing. So you're not so great as you think you are, serving. It was a lust. It's a lust. I'm going to please the Lord. I'm going to make the best sandwich he's ever seen. And Jesus says, you know, Mary has chosen the better thing, to sit at my feet. And why is Satan want to get young men into the so-called ministry, into the seminary? And I'm telling you, this is a snare and it's a trap. It can be a snare and a trap in any occupation, but religious occupation, Satan needs workers in the religious realm. And he needs workers because of what is known as the systematizing of the deception. Ephesians 4:4. This is what is happening today, and this is where the apostasy has led. This is what has happened. I told you the apostasy started in Paul's day. It's continuing today. It gets bigger and better, more well-funded, more organized, more people, more young men being drawn into lust. And when I say that, what do you think of? Young men are being drawn into lust. They must be on the beach looking at the women in bikinis. Oh no, if only. It's far more serious than that. It's heinous. It's grievous. They are being called to, quote unquote, serve God. Like Martha was called to serve God. And by their busyness, they miss God because they're trying to do so many things for God. And you don't have to be into the ministry to be guilty of this. Maybe I'm talking to somebody right now that is maybe, I don't know, ignoring their family and not filling their role as a father or a husband because they have this great epic call. Well, you might have a great epic call, but your first call is for your family and really your Lord. And you can serve your Lord like Mary was doing, sitting at his feet, not doing anything, quote unquote. And yet she was doing more than Martha was doing by trying to make the perfect 12-inch cold cut sub. So the systematizing of the deception, this is what Satan is doing today. Paul's prayer for the saints is found in one of them is found in Ephesians 4. Start with verse 11 to get you the context. He talks about Christ giving gifts to the ecclesia. He raises up apostles, yet these prophets, yet these evangelists, these as pastors and teachers toward the adjusting of the saints. By the way, these pastors and these teachers are those appointed by God, not appointed by religious institutions of humans. I'm a teacher, but I don't have a diploma on my wall. And I know friends, for instance, Clyde Pilkington, who act as a pastor in my life, someone who can direct me, who I go to for counsel. He doesn't have a diploma either. Well, he had one at one time, and he threw it away. He counted it as dung. He came through the religious institutions, and he found out that he was part of what I'm going to talk to you about right now. He became part of the systematizing of the deception. Back to Ephesians 4. These as pastors, teachers, toward the adjusting of the saints for the work of dispensing for the upbuilding of the body of Christ unto the end, that we should all attain to the unity of the faith and of the realization of the Son of God to a mature man. This is what Paul wanted. He wanted us to have a stature of a mature man. And there's something that comes in the way of that. And it's a lust. And it's not a sexual lust. To a realization of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature of the complement of Christ, that we may by no means still be minors, babies. Babies. The church, they're babies. They're arguing about inconsequential things. Paul wants us to become mature. But these people who are still minors, still youths, that don't understand the mature truth of God, they're surging. Verse 14, hither and thither, being carried about by every wind of teaching. Here's the seduction right here. The wind of teaching. It's a wind. It's not a hurricane. It's not a cyclone. It's not a storm. It's just a very subtle wind of teaching. This sounds pretty good. This tickles my hearing. Maybe this is right. Combating that are pastors and teachers, people like me and Clyde who and Dan who keep you in the Word. And here's the opposite of it right here. By human caprice, by craftiness, with a view to the systematizing of the deception. The systematizing of the deception. This is a huge phrase. I'm in Ephesians 4:14. Satan is raising workers, and his training ground for these workers are in the seminaries, in these colleges, Bible colleges. That's where Satan is training people. To induce in them the systematizing, to bring them into the systematizing of the deception. The deception is wickedness and it's evil. And Satan knows that, so he has to systematize it. People love systems. They love order. They love an organization. They love everything about a system. And so Satan knows this. And so he's not going to take the deception and pound it down your throat with a sledgehammer. This is not Marxism. This is a seductive, you know, Mary Poppins thing. A little sugar helps the medicine go down, a little robin landing on your shoulder. That's what this is. And it's organized. That's where we get the term organized religion. What do I hate? Organized religion. That's my phrase. Paul's phrase is the systematizing of the deception. It requires workers. It requires people who lust after the positions in the church. And again, these come from the seminaries and the Bible colleges, and they graduate into the deception. And it's systematized, it's clean, it's neat, and it's Satan's premier tool in this world to dissuade people and actually never even get them to the truths of Jesus Christ, and especially the truths as found in the Gospel of Paul. These are the youthful lusts, religious lusts, that Paul is begging Timothy at this point not to fall prey to. It's a seductive wind, it's everywhere, and I pray that you will avoid it.